It is always a divine appointment when we meet with you, where you have said two or three gather together, there am I in the midst. Father, may we look away from this world and the things and the trials that we go through, and may we now look to you, your word, and as our hearts are open and prepared to receive the seed of your word, for this we ask now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Well, I have a title for us to consider today for our teaching, and we're calling this teaching, Christians Have to Be Taught Sincerity. Christians Have to Be Taught Sincerity. Like all things, we know that the Holy Spirit, he's come back to us. Jesus said, I will come back. I will not leave you on your own, but I will be the comforter. I will come back to you, and I will lead and guide and teach you all things that you should know. Because without his ministry through the Holy Spirit to us, we have no hope. This walk as a Christian is too deep, is too complex. It's so different from the world and its ways. And that's why it says it's not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And it is always by the power of the Spirit that he teaches us and changes us. This is why I say so often the Christian walk is a miraculous walk. It is a walk that is based on miracles. We are constantly being changed from glory, into his likeness and image. And this is why today he wants to address this, because he wants us to walk upright before him. You see, to be sincere is to be genuine. And to be genuine, it means that we're free from any deceit or pretense. In other words, our motives, our attitudes are clean and pure before him. But we're not always. And this is why God has to teach us and lead us and guide us. And this is why at times he will convict us and he will chasten us, to show that our motive wasn't as it should have been. Or we weren't really telling the truth as it should have been, or the way I see it. We all of us battle with these things, but thank God for the Holy Spirit and our conscience that will reveal to us if it's not pleasing before the Lord. Sometimes we do these things, we're just not aware. It's not until God reveals to us where our motives were not probably as they should be. But let's look at a few of these words first before we open up into this. And what is our understanding of being deceitful or deceit? Well, it's fundamentally, as the Bible shows us, it's deceiving someone by concealing the truth. It's economy with the truth, or it's not telling it as it should be. And also hypocrisy can fall into this area. We know that the Pharisees, Sadducees, who followed Jesus often, they were deceitful. They deceived the people. And that is why Jesus pronounced all the woes over them, because they came over as pious teachers, but inside their hearts were deceitful. In other words, they were living two lives. And this is what God is delivering us from, in living these two lives, where we have one life when we're together as Christians, meeting together in the house of God, and we have another life at home with the family or with the husband, the wife, or whatever it would be. And we all at times fall victim to this. But you see, God is going to get us to be the same, whether we're at home or we're on our own or we're with one another or whether we're talking to the boss or whether we're at work or whatever it would be, whoever is important we're talking to, he will have us to be sincere and open and honest and not to change or to act with whoever we're talking to. I'm afraid you see this, don't you, when people are introduced to dignitaries or to someone who is important or royalty. Suddenly you see them on their best behaviour. But all of that is a camouflage. It's not really telling the truth. Sadly, most of our politicians today don't tell us the truth. They're not sincere. They have no fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom. And that's why I say so often when we're in prayer or we're praying for the government, praying for our leaders, it's powerful when we ask God to put the fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom, into them. For do they not need that wisdom in which to govern? So that is the idea then of being deceitful. And this, of course, is why in the law of court, so often the cases of fraud come up. And what is fraud? Fraud is fundamentally being deceitful. This is where trickery comes in, deceiving. A magician can be someone who is deceitful. It's fraud. It's trickery. It's beguiling. It's not really telling the truth as it is, you see. So there's our understanding of that word. And then another word we're going to look at, because we're going to see this in a minute from Scripture. We see another word, pretense. What is our understanding of pretense? Well, it's something that's not the case. It's something that's false. Our feelings can be false. This is why I make so much about our feelings. We have feelings. They're God-given. But if we allow our feelings to get in the way of walking by faith, trusting in God and the promises of God, our feelings are going to deceive us. And this is why we battle with faith, because so often our faith, our believing in the promises of God, when we stand upon them, is based on feelings, emotions. And you cannot let that be. It is what God has said. It's what he has promised. Our faith is in the mercy and grace of God and in the word of God. And I may not feel like a Christian today, or I may have missed the mark yesterday and really wonder what's going on with my life. Yes, their feelings, their emotions, but where am I going to base my faith? On those feelings, those pretense, something that isn't really real, it's false? Or am I going to place my faith in God's word and mercy and grace and allow the word of God to be worked out in my life? You see, this is why we make so much of this. When Eve was tempted in the garden, he used the word of God and he twisted it and he got her to look at the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Her emotions, feelings started to kick in, which was used by the enemy in which to deceive her, and then Adam. And Satan doesn't change in how he works. This is why I gave a teaching a couple of weeks ago, dealing with those doubts, closing the door to those doubts, those suggestions that the enemy places in our minds. He gets us to question God's word, God's promises that are there. And he uses these suggestions and we begin to listen and entertain them. And this is why the Holy Spirit, if we ask him, he will begin to close the door to our mind. Because where is the battleground? It's in the mind. The enemy can't get to your spirit, your heart, but he'll get to your mind. And if he can get to your mind, he's then going to get to the word that's being sown into your heart, the parable of the sower. He's not stupid. It's a sad thing, but Satan often at times knows more than Christians. And God wants us to know his tactics and what he's up to, so that we can guard our mind. We can close the door to our minds, because every doubt, there is a demon behind it, suggesting that God isn't true to his word, that he doesn't love you, he's not faithful, and all that paranoia and all that stuff that those demons try to suggest to the mind. We have to close the door to that. Now, God isn't going to do that for you. He's waiting to hear you ask him for that help, that strength. Help me to be on my guard. Help me by your grace and mercy to not entertain those doubts, to question your promises that you have given to me. And any loving father, he'll answer that. That's why James says, you have not because you ask not. We ask for the wrong things. And that's why so often our prayers don't get answered. We don't get delivered and healed according to his word. This would explain why you run so much to man and the arm of the flesh every time a trial comes. God is showing us how we can walk by faith in these last days. Because we cannot trust in man and the arm of the flesh. It's failing. This world is falling away rapidly. But God is getting us to look away and look unto him, and to seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, with all these things will be added unto us. We're not even to take thought, concern ourselves, or to become anxious like we do. You see. And we're dealing with our motives, our attitudes, which is so important to our faith. Did you know that these wrong attitudes, wrong motives, can hinder your faith in believing in the promises of God? And we're now looking at this word pretense, something that is false. It's a false display, false feelings, false imaginations. And this is what paranoia is. This is what people who are overcoming mental issues. Often that door is opened because they believe in things that are not true. Pretense. This is where denial, being in denial, this can work. And we all have experienced that one, where we just switch off. I can't take any more. oh, I'll just go along with it, just for a bit of peace. That's in denial. Or we cannot accept the truth. Or we find sometimes God's word is just too hard for me to accept. There's no way I could do that. Well, we have to remain open. We have to watch these areas of self-denial. Because we then start to pretend. And we all hope that it will go away, but it never does, you see. It's like our trials. Oh, well, I won't dwell on it. It will go away, this trial that I'm going through, and you find it doesn't. And until eventually, when we get out of that denial, where we're just hoping it's all going to go away, we then eventually face it. And then we face that trial, not on our own, but with the Lord, who is with us when we go through. And he brings us out of the other side. You see, we can't avoid trials. As it says in Acts 16, we must go through much trial and tribulation of which to make it into the kingdom of God. That's what it says. And we also know that our trials are tailor-made, as God wouldn't let us go through them. And we also know that our trials enable us to have a stronger faith when we come through. But trials are also to stop us with this pretense. In denial, hoping that it will go away. Fantasy. So many are living like that today. And it also means where people who wear a mask. Sometimes you've heard that say with people, oh, that person's just wearing a mask. But I can assure you, things are quite different under that smile. This is where we get the idea of veneer. Or that old saying, all that glitters is not gold. I would say that most of life that's presented to us is just veneer. It's pretending. So having introduced those two words to us and getting an understanding, let's look now what the apostle says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 12. And here is where the apostle, often he had to defend his ministry. And he had to very often use the trials, the tribulations, the rejection, the imprisonments, the beatings, the stonings, of which to reveal his credibility. And listen to what he says to them. For our boasting, he doesn't say himself, he's talking of the ministry, he's talking of all those that follow him. He says, for our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God and more abundantly toward you. So he's putting his faith, his boasting in the grace and mercy of God that was doing it through him. That is what he's revealing, because they're questioning his ministry. It's the usual thing, the gossip, the talk, the lies, the deceit going on about this man. But God was with him, and the test always within any ministry is their standing, their enduring, their remaining with it and being faithful. They are just some of the signs you test with a true minister of God. And the apostle surely was. And he says here that we came in simplicity and godly sincerity. And that is the key to what I'm talking about here with regard to deceit or pretense. We're to be clean and pure before God. And he says it's godly sincerity. So it's not what we can achieve. It's not what the world produces. It's what the Holy Spirit is working in and through each of us as we acknowledge it, or if we fall short, or maybe I'm not as sincere as I should be, or I have these things in my life. It's as we bring it out and bring it under the blood of the Lamb, then he works that by his Spirit, because we know we can't do it. We can't even save ourselves. It's the grace and mercy of God. But God doesn't want us deceiving ourselves, being in denial. That's one of the worst things. And sadly, a lot of Christians are in denial. And when God tries to hone in and to deal with it, they run away, or they switch off, or they don't listen, you see. And that's why we're to walk humbly before the Lord, to bow that knee, as Peter tells us. And then he delivers us. Then he takes that weight off our back, because he's the only one that can bear it. He's our sin bearer. That's what it means. He took upon his flesh our sin, the sin of the world, all that baggage that we had when we came to him. You know, a lot of people today, they don't want to get involved with people. Do you know why? Because they will tell you they've got too much baggage and I've got enough of my own. But that was no problem to the Lord. He took the whole of the sin of the world, its guilt, and took it on his shoulders. He became that substitute for us, to stand in place of us before our Heavenly Father, that we may be spotless, guiltless, blameless before him. But this is what he's working through us. What does it say in chapter 2 and verse 4 of 2 Corinthians? Chapter 2, verse 4, "For out of much afflictions and anguish of heart, I write to you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have so abundantly for you." You see, the Apostle Paul didn't have to go through all that he went through. He didn't have to go through a lot of that, but he chose to go through it in order for them to believe. And yet he never compromised on the truth. He remained faithful to the word of God, the same as we are as well. And some don't like when the truth is given. You see, love presents the truth, but it's always at a cost. And you know what that cost is? That you have been in prayer and intercession, that you have sought the Lord as well. That's why, you see, it's not always easy for a preacher and a teacher, because he has to bring out the truth of God's word. And some receive it with joy and others question it, or they're not sure. But we know, as the word of God says, if you know the truth, then the truth shall set you free. And you will always know when the truth is being presented, because there's always grace that is attached to it as well. There's always a way of escape, of change. And that is the difference. You see, these attitudes and motives are essential in the body of Christ before God. So often we have wrong attitudes to God's word being ministered to us. If you take it personally, or you try and push it to something or someone else, you have missed what God is trying to say. Very often we find when we come together that the word of God has our name and address on it. And thank God that it has. How do we change otherwise? How do we grow in grace? How do we have a greater faith if our name and address is not in the word of God? If God doesn't chastise us or chasten us or correct us, if he doesn't do that, then it says we're illegitimate. A loving father always corrects, helps, points us in the right direction. That is the nature of our Father's heart towards us. And sometimes it does hurt. That correction, if we allow pride to remain there, then we are going to misinterpret what our Father is saying or trying to say to us. And we will always be deceitful in our discernment. We won't give out the truth in what we're saying. It's deceitful. It is not right. It's insincere, you see. This is why in our discernment, we have to have a pure, sincere and right heart. Otherwise, you will interpret it wrongly. You will take sides. You will be moved by emotions. And this goes on so much in the house of God. And this is what causes divisions. And the enemy gets in and he uses it. And the only thing that will dispel that is the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. That is the only thing that will deal with divisions in the house of God. That is its nature. Because our fellowship is based on agreement and unity with God and his word. We know that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses chapters 1 and 2. There the apostle introduces there, he labours that with those two chapters of the body agreeing, believing, standing upon the word of God. We might not understand it all, but the point is we're not opposing it. We're not fighting against it, which sadly goes on so much in Christendom. They fight and bicker and argue over the word of God. That's not what it's about. That isn't true unity and fellowship. Because we're all in a place where we're learning all the time. What does it say in 1 Timothy chapter 1? 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, which you all know very well. And he says here, now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. You see, so often we hear Christians, particularly when God is dealing with things, that's not love. It's not done in love. Well, here it is describing exactly what they're trying to say. Now, the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. That is what God is looking for. In other words, is my heart right? Am I sincere? Are my motives right before you, Lord? That is then out of a good conscience, a sincere faith. And we've said that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So our faith has to be sincere, out of a good conscience. And then you can confidently stand on these promises and believe them and see them come to pass in your life, you see. And that's why at times our prayers are not getting answered. Our heart and motive is very instrumental with our faith and believing the promises. It's important. Are you not breaking through with promises? Are you finding your prayers aren't getting answered? Or you stood for healing, confessed it didn't happen? Probably this is the problem right there. The conscience isn't right. The motives are not right. It's not sincere. And the Holy Spirit is trying to get our attention on this because he loves us. He wants our prayers answered because it glorifies his name. One of the reasons that I stand so firm and strongly on these promises, and I want these promises to be seen in my life and in the church and in brothers and sisters, is not about me. It's for his glory. Because the devil's out to rob the glory of God. And I think we need a godly jealousy placed in us for his glory. That we will defend it against all odds or whatever the enemy tries to throw at us. We will defend the glory of God because we're defending his name. We're defending his faithfulness, true to his word, his promises. Jesus did everything to glorify his Father. He was so determined. He had so settled it that he was prepared, and he did, and he went to the cross. And that's why I say, go back to the cross and you will see what it cost him for us today, even today, to have fellowship in this room, to be able to talk about the good news of the gospel. All of this is a reminder what it has cost him. He glorified his Father. The Apostle Paul is picking up the same for the sake of the churches and the saints. Those who are sincere, they use economy with words. And if we are truly sincere in heart and everything, we don't open our mouths too quick. We use economy of words. That's always a clear sign of a saint who has their little member bridled by the Holy Spirit. That is a clear sign that the Holy Spirit has worked and is working sincerity and wisdom within them. This is why God hates gossip. He doesn't, because it causes division. And it's a clear sign that the motives and heart isn't right. Our relationship between brother and sister is absolutely vital. And it is based on the love of God, on sincerity, on truthfulness, purity of heart. That is how God is building true unity, fellowship and oneness. And of course, only God can do that. That can never be achieved in ourselves. It's impossible. Don't even try. But it's as we yield to the Word, as we yield to the Spirit, we then allow Him to work that through us. Because what we're really talking about today, you could in many ways say, is the fruit of the Spirit. And Jesus said, by the fruit you will know them. Where is the fruit? The fruit is in the Holy Spirit. And who is the Holy Spirit? He is Jesus, who has come to us to live His life in and through us. The fruit of the Spirit is in Him. It's not in you. It's not in me. It's in Him. The new heart, the new birth that He has given to us, it is there. What we do is we resist, we fight against it. But it is there. And when it is needed, you draw upon it. When you are to love your enemy that you can't love in the natural, the fruit of the Spirit, a fruit is there in which to draw from it. To love the unlovable, to go that extra mile. It's in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's not in you trying. And this is why we fail. And we're in the flesh. It's in the Spirit as we yield over to Him. And you say to me, well, how do I yield over to Him? Well, the first thing you do is when He wants you to love your enemy, you've got to be honest before Him and say, Lord, I can't love this person. This person brings the worst out in me, but that is wrong before you. I repent of this. This doesn't glorify you. I want the fruit of the Spirit. I want you to reach out through me to this person. That is how you do it. And you yield over to the cross that you take up daily, that deals with the flesh life, that deals with our wills. And then you find in that trial, in that situation, or you have met that person that you just don't like, you will find then the love of God, the fruit of the Spirit beginning to rise up in your mind, your attitude starts coming out of your words. His love is taking over with that person you cannot get on with. That is how you overcome, brothers and sisters. It's when you come to the end of yourself. It's when you realize you can't do it, that He does it through us. Why am I stressing this? Because you can't even save yourself. It is the gift of God. God first loved us. And that's why we get all down and despondent and oppressed and so on. But He has provided everything for us in our walk in this life. And it all comes from Him. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And that's why God deals with hypocrisy in our lives. Because hypocrisy is always powerless before God. And God will always expose it. And He does. He's exposed it in our lives. Because it isn't sincere. And we see so much insincerity in life today. Sadly, we see a lot of it in the house of God. We see it with preachers and teachers. They're not truly sincere. Their motives are wrong. I know I've said this before, but I say it now in closing. I was tempted by the devil years back when God called me into the ministry and I settled it with Him. And along came someone and said, join our team and you will have success. You will make a lot of money, a lot of money you can make out of your ministry with what God has placed on you. Wow. Listen to that. Is that sincere? Anything but. And by the grace and mercy of God, he enabled me, he strengthened me to say no. Because that came at a time when I was going through financial difficulty. I was having to really trust God in the area of finances. See, the devil knows exactly when to come. He always comes at your weakness, when you're vulnerable or something's going on. He's a master at suggesting things and stirring it up. But you see, I stand here today by the grace of God, staying with God's people, staying with the poor, the lowly, the destitute, those who have need of the gospel, those in the ways, in the highways and the byways. Oh, I could have gone to all these big seminars, all look respectable. Many of them don't really have need of God. Their lives are comfortable. They don't know what hardship is. I chose to go a different route. The route that Jesus went, to the poor, to the rejected, to the lowly, to those whom the world rejects. How do I know that? Because the world rejected me. I'm one of them. They're the ones you go to. They're the ones that you remain faithful to. They're the ones that will listen. They're the ones that you will get true sincerity of heart, because God has done and is doing that work in and through them. That is our gospel. That is the good news. That is our fellowship, our unity, our oneness. That is why we are lovers of the truth, because when you know the truth sets you free. There is nothing like the Spirit of God that sets you free. The world, man cannot give that. Only the Spirit can work that freedom. And when you are free before God, you are free before your brothers, your sisters. You're not fettered or held emotionally in any way. That is the freedom. And in that freedom, we're then able to make those right moves and choices and so on, because it's the Spirit of God doing it in and through us.